Well, let's dive into the Word. If you could pull out your Bibles or your apps. We are in the book of Galatians, the first chapter. We're reading from verses 11 to 17. Please attend with me to the powerful Word of God. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life. Somebody say earlier life. Earlier life. In Judaism, I was violently persecuting the Church of God, and I was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, somebody say, but when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me. But I went away at once to Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. If you could return with me briefly to verse 15, which is where our attention will rest today. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles. Sisters and brothers, this morning, the Holy Spirit is whispering to us and whispering to each of us, and I pray that you can let it sink into your spirit. We are being told this morning, I was made for this. Please pray with me. God, we recognize you as holy. We recognize you as mighty. We recognize you as eternal and as almighty. We are grateful to be your children, and we are grateful for this moment, God. We give you praise and honor because to you it is due, and we are in your house because you have been big in our lives, and it is a joy and a pleasure to come and to tell you about yourself, to tell you who you've been to us, to try to meet you a little bit more. Now, God, we pray that in this moment we come to you humbly yet expectantly. We pray that in this moment you would do what you always do and use your word to speak to the places in our hearts that need you and to give us what we need to walk these journeys, God. Tell us the truth about who you are and who we are in you. God, I pray that in spite of the frailties of the preacher, that your word might come forth with power, that it might speak to your people in the places that they need to hear you, because God, we know that just a word from you and we shall be healed. We love you, God. We need you more than words can say. We are bringing everything to you, and we are doing our best to clear out our spirits that you might fill us up. Now give us ears to hear. We'll do our best to listen. It is in the mighty and the powerful and the eternal name of Jesus that together we say amen. 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 I was made for this. The words of Paul, powerful words of Paul, have had such an impact on our world and have woven themselves so intricately into our culture's vocabulary that often you'll hear the words of Paul without even knowing that they are Paul's words. I was talking with a friend the other day, and she was telling me about how her life was challenging her, but she said to me, she said, I know I'm going to be all right. She said, I know I'm going to be all right because I can do all things. I said, oh my goodness, you're quoting Paul. That's so powerful, Philippians 4:13. She said, no, I'm quoting Lizzo. Coconut oil. Lizzo, of course, quoting Paul. Paul has woven himself, his words, his powerful words, maybe even you yourself on your pillow at night. Find yourself repeating these words of Paul without necessarily knowing that he authored them. You might say to yourself, I am what I am by the grace of God, or I walk by faith and not by. Oh, you might say some words that Paul spoke. Yet though Paul's words are close at hand for us, and though we know his words well and we celebrate his words and the things that he taught, we all often don't reflect on what he had to go through to bring those words out of him. We often don't know. We don't sit in our cursory reading of Scripture and our walk on this journey. We don't often. We're not often made to reflect on Paul. Yes, his words were powerful. Yes, he had an impact. But what did he have to go through to bring those words out of him? We're beginning a series on Paul today, and I pray that by the end of this series, you're able to see the alignment of your life with Paul's story a little bit more, and you're able to see some insight from the Holy Spirit through the life and the words and the lessons of Paul, because I think you'll find as we study Paul a little bit more and as we go through this series, you'll find that Paul was a complicated character. Hey, it was a complicated character with frailties and with great triumphs. Who messed up and who had great gifts. And this complicated character, Paul, God was able through him, to have impact that has still not been erased, to be a game changer in the church, to be a social change maker, even though he doesn't often have that reputation, to have such impact that we are still talking about him today. Impact Paul had, but a complicated character. Paul knew trouble. And this impact that he made was born and forged in the crucible of difficulties. And the words that he wrote were often written with a clenched fist and a trembling hand. Paul knew some difficulties, and I wonder if you're already starting to see some of the alignment with your life with Paul's, because I imagine that in this room there are those of us who have known some trouble. And I want to talk this morning about Paul's trouble, in particular, the opposition that he faced. You see, Paul, you know, in Christian circles, his words are now considered normative, very traditional, and Paul is one who authors what we consider right and sound doctrine. However, at the time, this is heavy, though his words are now considered normative, at the time, they provoked much opposition. Opposition from all sides. Even though now, do y'all hear what I'm saying? Even though now Paul's words are considered powerful and normative and truly in line with the will of God, at the time, they provoked much trouble for him. Opposition on every side. Michael, as we are continuing and as we were selecting the sound equipment that is best for this incredible church, and as we're upgrading our sound equipment, he told me about this thing called an omnidirectional microphone. An omnidirectional microphone, I didn't know, he educated me, is a microphone that you don't have to just talk in the front or to the top. You can, if a sound comes from the side, that mic can receive it. If a sound comes from this side or even from this side, omnidirectional, there are things coming at this mic from all sides. And this mic is designed to receive things coming at it from all sides. And I thought about this opposition that Paul faced, and maybe that some of you feel like you have faced. And I thought, you know, sometimes in life we reach seasons where we feel a little bit like that mic, that things are coming at us from all sides. And the opposition that we face is not just one thing. No, it's omnidirectional opposition. I don't know if anybody in here has tasted a season like that where you step into the season in your life and things aren't just coming at you from one way. No, maybe you go to work and you're just trying to do what God has asked you to do and to take the little piece of world that God has placed within your reach and do what God has asked you to do to form it more as it is in heaven, the way God asked you to do it. But people keep knocking your hands off and getting in the way of what you are trying to do for God. Opposition. And then after all that, you come home. And there's opposition there. They're clashing a vision, and people don't see things the same way. And sometimes people push back on you. And sometimes, even though those are the people that you gave life and you gave every meal they ever ate, and you gave, they don't see it that way. They push, and you feel like, well, why am I getting opposition from over here? And omnidirectional opposition. Sometimes you go to the hospital and you're getting pushed on in this way, and this person's in the hospital, and it just seems like there's trouble at every side. And then you get a phone call, and it's not just coming at you from over here, but it's coming at you from over here. And you go to this other context, and it's coming at you from this way. Some of us know what it's like to walk into a season where the opposition comes from all sides. Paul knew much opposition. Ironically, though we consider him normative and though we lift him up and recognize him as having been sent from God, at the time, he received much opposition. Paul received opposition and trouble, first of all, from the Roman government, from his place, the place where he was born, his context. He was preaching in Rome, and as we know, we've studied, Rome was a place that was not always aligned with the purposes of God. And so Rome didn't like Paul. Rome pushed back on Paul. Paul was doing what God had asked him to do. Paul had been sent and commissioned, but Rome didn't like what Paul was doing. So Rome gave him opposition. Rome said, you can't do that in the way that you're doing it. Rome didn't like Paul because they were afraid that Paul was going to disrupt things and disrupt the structures that were set up in order for Rome to remain lifted and the rest to remain below. And Paul, you see, Paul was not of the ethnicity that Rome valued. He was a citizen of Rome, but he was Jewish ethnically. And Rome didn't like that because Paul was not only preaching that God was good, but Paul was also preaching that all people were God's children. That it wasn't just the Romans who were valued in the eyes of God. No, but that all people, Jews, were just as valuable. And this upset Rome. They didn't like what Paul was saying because it threatened to disrupt and to jeopardize the systems upon which they had based this empire. Rome did not like Paul. This was his place. And it pushed back on him. Paul, you read his writings, he found opposition in Rome. Governors tried to kill him, and he had to be lowered in a basket out of a window. And magistrates and officials would try to hurt him and to beat him with rods because they pushed back. They opposed what he was doing. And then, of course, we know Paul got opposition from his peers. From those one would think would be aligned with his purposes, the other apostles, Peter and John, and those who were also preaching the gospel, one would think that they were on one accord. I wonder if you've run into that. Opposition from people you would think are on your same page. As you would think, come on, we're doing the same thing, but it seems like the enemy is busy sometimes, and it seems like there's discord where there should be unity. It seems like you're just trying to do what you're trying to do, but things are pushing back on you. This is where Paul was. He said, I'm just trying to do what God has asked me to do, but his peers, they didn't see it that way, and they pushed on him, and they questioned his authority. Paul, you know, did not get to meet Jesus in the flesh. He met Jesus in a vision later, after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected. So those who knew Jesus in the flesh said, I don't know if this one is legitimate. I don't know if this one really is up to anything of value. I don't know if this one is legitimate in what we are doing. Maybe he is not really worth all of that. I question. So I don't know if you've ever been questioned. If you've ever felt like those around you don't see your legitimacy and the power of what God is doing in you and call into question who you are and your walk on this earth and whether it means what you think it means. But I want you to see yourself with Paul there today, because even though Paul's impact was great and was mighty and he was walking in the truth of God, even though he was doing what God asked him to do, he was questioned, and they questioned his legitimacy, and they did not believe. So Paul's peers pushed back on him. Paul's place, his context, pushed back on him. And then this is the one I imagine hurt the worst. The one I imagine just really kept him up at night. Everybody was against him, and it seemed like he was getting opposition from all sides, trouble everywhere you turn. And in addition to Rome, in addition to his peers, and here come his own people. His own people pushing back on him, the congregations that he founded. He would found them and go and work at another church and come back, and his own people, he would find, had been talking about him, had been sowing discord about him. They would say things like, oh, he sounds almighty in his letters, but when he comes and talks to us, his speech is just terrible, and he's short. This is what they would say about Paul. You know, sometimes it hurts the worst when it's those who are closest to you who don't get you. Sometimes maybe in your own life you've seen how it hurts the worst. You face it at work, you face it at school, you face it in the places where, you know, your associates don't really see who you are, but it hurts the worst when you feel like you should know me. You've seen me, you know who I am, and you've walked with me, and you too are pushing back on me or are questioning who I am. You don't get me. Sometimes it hurts the worst when they should know. The ones that are closest to you, ooh, they know how to hurt you. What your mother says about you when you're 14. Ooh, you can't get it out of your head. Let the woman on the corner, the guy at work say whatever they want, but it's those that are closest to you whose words cut the deepest. I want you to know that if you've been cut by some words, by people who had a sword that they didn't understand, the power of that sword in their hands, the sword of the tongue, if you've been cut by those words, I want you to see yourself in Paul's story today, because he knew what it was to be in relationship with people who didn't see them, couldn't say what they were supposed to say, instead the wrong things, and he walked with that pain of those words that hurt. Paul got some opposition from his own people. And in the face of all this opposition, this omnidirectional opposition, this trouble from all sides, see, this is why Paul says things like, I am hard pressed on every side. This is why you know what Paul feels like, and you can find not just comfort, but power in Paul's words. I encourage you to read them, because Paul says, I know what it is to be pressed on every side. Does anybody know what that's like to walk into your life and say, it's coming at me from over here, it's coming at me from my health, it's coming at me from my job, it's coming at me from my relationships, it's coming at me even from inside of me, it's every side. And Paul says, I know what it is to be hard pressed, but I know God. Maybe you know a little bit what Paul feels like. What do we do when we get this omnidirectional opposition? What do we do? What happens in our spirits? Well, we begin to make some assumptions when everywhere we turn, they're coming at us and they're not getting us. Feels like every step we try to make, someone's trying to get in. What do? Well, we begin to make some assumptions. First, we begin to assume maybe I'm on the wrong path. Maybe I'm in the wrong place. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Why else would there be all this pushback and this opposition? Why else would people not be? Shouldn't it be easy? If I were in the right place, shouldn't doors open for me? Isn't that what they say, that when God lets a door close, a window will open? I don't see any windows. All I see is just barriers in front of me. If all these barriers are here, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm in the wrong city, we say, because it's so hard. Maybe I'm in the wrong marriage. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Because it's not easy. What if Paul? Whew. What if Paul had assumed he was in the wrong place? Because it wasn't easy. So I encourage those of you who might find yourself in a difficult place with some opposition on every side, question those assumptions. We say, maybe I'm on the wrong path. Maybe I chose the wrong career. Maybe I'm doing something wrong, because it's not easy. What else do we assume? Oh, well, like the Israelites last week, when we discussed when they were at Marah, when things get dicey, when there's some wilderness in our ways, when there's stuff on every side pushing against us, we assume, we begin to question, not only have we done something wrong, but we begin to question, is God walking with me in this thing? Like the Hebrew people last week, they said, is the Lord among us or not? Because it got a little hard. Because they were walking somewhere and there were briars in their way. It wasn't easy like they thought it. They went to school and it wasn't A. No, it was challenge and difficulty. And I got to fall down and get up again. They found a relationship. They got married and it wasn't harmony and joy all the time. No, they had to go to counseling. They didn't expect that and things got difficult. There was stuff in their way. And so they said, is the Lord with us or not? Oh, we are so quick to assume that God is not in what we're in when it's not smooth, when there are things pushing back on us. Today, Paul, when we meet him in the book of Galatians, he's facing some more opposition. Much of what Paul wrote, I want to encourage you today, much of what Paul wrote in the New Testament, and Paul indeed wrote a large portion of the New Testament, much of what he wrote is forged in this crucible of opposition. Much of what he wrote is not from the best times or when everything was going his way or when people were cheering him on, but much of what he wrote, the powerful words that still inspire your life and still change lives and still are being spoke today, much of his impact on this world was forged in difficulty. It was no different in this book today that he writes in Galatians. The scene is no different. Paul is dealing with more church fights. He's dealing with more church drama. Anybody know anything about church drama? Oh, just one honest. Okay, the rest, no, what is that? Oh, two, okay, we got two honest. Oh, now, here's the honesty. Yes, church drama, church people love some drama, right? I don't know what's wrong with us. It's a special gift of the Holy Spirit. That wasn't one of the fruits of the Spirit, but we got confused somewhere. We added that on there. No, it's not, but church fights. This is where Paul is when we meet him in Galatians. He's in the middle of a big church fight. As we said, his peers did not always support him. His people did not always support him. And today, he is upset because he's in the middle of this church fight that to him makes no sense. See, Paul was called, as you remember, when Jesus came to him on the road to Damascus and said, I'm sending you to the Gentiles, to these people that no one else in your circle thinks should be let in. Paul was convicted because Jesus said it. Paul was sure because he knew who God was and he knew God was God of everyone. Paul was certain about what he was doing. He gets to the church and he says his piece. He does what God is asking him to do. But then there's a church fight. Because you see, Paul wanted to open the table and to break down the barriers. And Paul had seen that God was mighty and God was God of everyone. And that Jesus was big enough to gather all of humanity. Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me. Paul knew this, and Paul said, we got to open this table, and this is about everybody coming in, and this is about, I know what the traditions tell you, but the God of transformation is here, and Paul was preaching this gospel, but then that caused a church fight. Because some people didn't want the barriers to be broken down. Some people didn't want the table to be open to everyone, and it wasn't because they didn't love God. In fact, they loved God deeply, and they just wanted to honor God, and so they were clinging to the traditions. And Paul says, that's great, that's fine, that's good, but I need you to know that, yes, the traditions are there, but God of transformation is here. That's why when Jesus came in, he said, I know you have heard it said, but I say unto you, I know what came before was good, but something greater than Solomon is here. And Paul is saying, you know what? God is doing a new thing. Breaking down barriers and opening the table and expanding God's family. And it's a good thing, a thing to be celebrated. But the people didn't like it. They said, Paul, no, we can't let all those people in the tradition. Caused a church fight. Caused headaches for Paul. Resistance caused him, I bet, the way you do at night sometimes, to go home at night and to cry in his pillow and to wonder, God, are you there? God, are you there with me? God, am I in the right place? God, maybe these aren't the people. God, maybe I'm not speaking what you told me to speak. God, maybe I can't do this. Maybe this is wrong in some way. Maybe you should have sent someone else. Maybe you should have sent a different message. God, I don't know. This isn't working. Caused Paul to doubt and to make assumptions. Maybe you've been there. Maybe when you started out, you felt confident about what you were doing. You knew you were walking with God and that God had sent you somewhere, but then when the resistance comes, it's not as easy as you thought, and there's some ugly spots in it, and there's some financial difficulty in it, and there's some trip-ups in it, and there's some people who get mad at you, and then you mess up sometimes. It's not always perfect, and then as the difficulties come, you begin to assume, am I in the wrong place? Is God with me or not? Can I do this or not? But here in Galatians, there's a shift in Paul. In other places in the scriptures, we hear his doubts and his concerns and his anxieties come out. But here in Galatians, something shifts in Paul, and he begins to speak something a little bit stronger than what he normally says. You know, sometimes opposition has the opposite effect of what it was intended to do. Sometimes opposition will chisel in you a certainty and a conviction that it meant to weaken you. But sometimes opposition, I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about. Sometimes when you have to push up against some things, your muscles become a little bit stronger. Sometimes opposition causes you to become a little bit more convicted. And today in Galatians, after all this opposition, Paul gets a new confidence and he has an inner conviction that he needs to articulate. He has something inside that he needs to say outside. I don't know if you heard it in our powerful scripture today. He says, I need you to know, brothers and sisters, that what I'm doing is not of human origin, and I am not here by myself. Did you hear it in the scriptures when he says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, the gospel that was proclaimed by me, not of human origin. I didn't get it from any person. I didn't get it from my grandmother. I didn't get it from the person down the corner. I didn't get it from somebody in school. No, God sent me here, and what I'm doing is not of my own accord. He has a different conviction about him today, and he says, I'm not here by myself. So you can do what you think, what you want to do to me. You can say what you want to say about me. You can push back against me. But I know today, and maybe I didn't know tomorrow, but something in me knows today, I am not here on my own. And because he knows he's not there on his own, he knows that God put him there. He didn't find his way there. No, God placed him there. And so he knows, and he says today, he says, I know because God put me here, I have what I need, and I will prevail, and your designs against me will not come to pass because God put me here, and I know because God put me here, I was made for this. I just came to tell somebody today about the things that you're facing, the things that you make you think, I wonder if I can get through this, and if I can do this, am I in the right place? Is God in this thing or not? I came to tell you today, you are not here by yourself. You are not where you are by accident or of your own accord. Just like Paul said today, I was set apart from my mother's womb. I was put here before I was born. I was called by God, and God put me where I am. And because God has been with me and God walks with me, I know God is with me and God will give me what I need. I was made for this. Just came to tell you that today, that you were made for the challenges that you think might knock you over. You were made for this moment. And there's a difference that comes in when you recognize and you let it sink in. I know this is difficult, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to work. In fact, it might mean that I am the right one for this, because anybody weaker would fall to the wayside. But maybe I was made for this moment. There's something that happens in you. You get a little bit less like 2 Corinthians Paul. You get a little bit more like Galatians Paul. You get a little bit less like Romans 8 Paul. You get a little more like Philippians Paul. Like, I will give God praise in all things because I know even if I'm in chains, I do not walk alone. I just came to tell somebody today that you don't walk alone and you're not where you are by yourself, not of your own accord. How do I know? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll let you know how I know that you are not where you are by yourself. And because you're not there by yourself, you have everything you need because God has put you there. I'll let you know. I know because you could not have gotten to the places where you've gotten on your own. If we're honest today, we know. You could not have done it on your own. Oh, somebody over here, they agree with me, but let me just talk about myself in case I haven't convinced you. I know there are places I have gotten. I could not have done it on my own. I know for some of us, hallelujah, you could not have raised those children on your own. You didn't know how to do anything like that, but it happened anyway. You could not have survived the things that you survived on your own. Some of us can say, if it had been left up to me, I would not have been able to rise from the broken places I was walking. I would not have been able to come up from the things that were trying to get me down. I would not have been able to pull off the hands of the enemy as he was trying to take me with him. But he didn't get me because I was not here by myself. Oh, I know you didn't do it by yourself. There's some things you can look back in your past and say, oh, if it had been left to me, I would still be there. If it had been left to me, I would have been broken on the floor. If it had been left to me, those children would be crazier than I am. If it had been left to me, it would not have come to pass. But I was not here by myself. Paul says it's so powerful I need you to see your story in Paul's story. He says, you have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life. You have heard, no doubt, of how I used to be. You have heard of who I used to be. He says, I used to persecute. I used to be a persecutor of the church. Listen. Not only, Paul says, was I not doing good, I was doing the opposite. Not only was I not following God's purposes, I was going against the purposes of God. Right? So Paul is saying, if I had been left to my own devices, I would not be here. If it had been left up to me, can anybody feel what Paul is saying today? If it had been left up to me, I would not be where I am. No, I would be out of my mind. I would be heartbroken on the floor. I would be hurting myself. And if it had been left up to me. But Paul says something very important. Y'all, just if you just swim in this verse this week. I know somebody's going to get a tattoo of it. I feel it. It's coming. Next week, come back. Galatians 1:13. Oh, it broke. It's okay. Galatians, let's see, it's so powerful. It jumped out of my hand. Hallelujah. Galatians 1, so powerful. He says, He says, I want you to know, I had advanced in Judaism beyond many people of the same age, for I was far more zealous. And I was not only not really following the church, I was not only not really doing what God wanted me to do, I was trying to destroy it. I don't know if anyone can say today with Paul, whoo, if it had been left up to me, not only would I not be doing anything good. Not only would I just kind of be sitting there and my life would not be the powerful thing that is pulsing through my veins and that I see on my horizon that I know God is pulling forth from me and then there's joy and there's love and there's hope and there's happiness. Not only would it not be all that, not only would I not be doing anything good, if it were left up to me, some of us can say, not only would it not be that great, oh, where would I be? Some of us can just say, and we just need to give God praise today, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, oh. This is Paul today. He says, "Oh, my former life, I'm sure you've heard of my earlier life." But then he says something very powerful. And this is enough. This is what the tattoo is going to be. I know it. You show us next week. Only if you're into tattoos. I'm not. It's fine if you're not. But okay. So Paul says in verse 15, this, if you're looking for a tattoo, this is a great one. He says something really powerful. And this is enough. This is enough. He says, "I'm sure you've heard of my earlier life. I'm sure you've heard of how it was. I'm sure you've heard of where the enemy had me and where I had myself in the broken places I was walking, the ways I was trying to break other people. I'm sure you've heard of how I used to be." But then in verse 15, he says, "But God." Whew, that's enough. But God. How do I know you're not here by yourself? But God. How do I know that you are not here of your own accord? Because I know something about this little tiny fraction of a sentence. But God. And I know that half the people in this room would not be in this room if it had not been for God. Oh! But God. Some of us know. Some of us know that's about 4 or 5 chapters of our story, and those are the best chapters. Some of us know what it means to say, but God. Paul, in this powerful book, you know, he doesn't even finish this sentence. It's a sentence fragment. He says, but God, and he gets all carried away. But God who had called me and set me apart, but God. But, I need you to know, is a conjunction. We got an English teacher in here? Uh-oh, now I got to be careful. It's a conjunction, and it's this thing called an adversative conjunction. So it connects two things, but it connects them in an inverse relationship. Oh, so your past is connected to where you are now, but God did it. And so it's connected in an inverse way for some of us. And what was before is not anymore. And it's not because of us. Because of God. So I know for those of you who have those chapters, maybe it's just me, who can say, but God, and if it had not been for God, those chapters which become the best chapters of your life because of God. I know you're not here by yourself. And because, if you could just look at your story, because you're not here by yourself, but because you know what but God means, and you, like Paul, might get carried away saying, oh, I can't even finish the sentence. But God, and that's all I need to say. Because of that, I know you're not here by yourself, and because God has put you where you are, You were made for this. You were made for the things that you're facing now. How dare we look at our stories where God has done acrobatics to get us where we are? Things that blown our minds, things that don't make any sense by human standards. Look at that story and then look at where we are and say, I can't do this. I didn't say you had to do it. I said the power of God at work in you will do exceedingly and abundantly above everything you ask, think, or imagine. I said you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I didn't say you had to do it. But if you know anything about God, how dare we look at the situations where we are and think it can't be done. You, no. You were made for this. Come on, say it with me. I was made for this. I was made for this. Even though oftentimes when we find ourselves in the situations that are pushing on us from every side and we just start to think, God, are you with me or not? Even though we were made for those moments, we were made for those challenges, even though you are in that family because God has called you to be the one to break whatever generational curse, even though you are in that workplace because God has called you to shift some things and to change, turn things around, even though you were in that school, because that school would be crazy, but you are there to slowly change things and to be who you are, even though you know that part, even though you are there because God put you there and you were made for that, even though that's the case sometimes, we can fail to walk into it. So I want to share with you, and then I'll leave you alone. I'll share with you a few things about how do we know, how do we walk into this this power of knowing that we were made for the challenges we face. First one is interpretation. Interpretation. You won't be able to walk into the places you were made for without this power of interpretation. Paul says, you know, my earlier life, you have heard of it, and it's not a good history. I was violently persecuting the church of God. You know I was trying to destroy it. You know who I used to be, but I need you to know something the way I would tell my story before, that it was something that would bring me down. It was something that the devil was using. It was something that was disqualified me. God took it and turned it and used it. And now, Paul says, this is what I need you to see. Now, Paul says, I see it differently. I read my own story differently. I interpret. Something happens when you realize I was made for this and I'm not here by myself. You begin to tell your own autobiography differently. Paul says, he used to be ashamed of it. He says, I know you know. I'm not ashamed of my story because God, I see that thing differently. I don't see it as a list of failures or a list of things that have gone wrong. No, I see that as God preparing me to do the things that God had called me to do. If Paul had not been such a zealous person, such a person familiar with Judaism and someone who loved the tradition so much, God could not have used him to be the one who united the Gentiles with the Jewish people. No, God used the parts of his story that he liked the least. I'm sure you've heard this week of the powerful young woman, Greta Thunberg, who is changing the world. We pray that the world listens. I'm sure you've heard of this powerful young woman, and you probably know that part of her autobiography is that she has ADHD. But she interprets that thing differently. What the world, what she may have at one point, when many of us would say, oh, that's going to keep her. That's going to be an opposition that stops her. That's going to be something that, no. She says, you know what ADHD is? She says, it's my superpower. She says, it's my superpower because it allows me, anybody who has experienced a condition like this, it allows me, she says, to be zero focused, to be tunnel vision focused on my goal. I do not get distracted. I get really, really interested in the thing that I'm doing, and I have no tolerance, she says. I have no tolerance for this say one thing and do another because my ADHD does not allow me. Therefore, it is my superpower. Therefore, what they thought was going to keep me back, it has become the thing that God is using. Because I was made for this. And that's not to, you know, there are great difficulties that come along with some condition. You know, it's not to say it's all easy. She doesn't say it's all easy, but she says, I interpret that thing differently. I encourage you in your life. You're made for this. You're made for this moment. You are made for this moment in this nation that needs people whose hearts can break. Needs people who care about what we see outside. Needs people who can get angry and get upset. You are made for this moment. All depends on how you interpret it. You see, sometimes, and I don't mean that opposition or that a condition like that or that some of the things that are the most difficult in our lives, I don't mean that God puts them there, especially opposition. No, I don't mean that, but I do mean that sometimes God will put you into a situation to which God is opposed because God trusts you to fight on God's side. So don't think of it as punishment if you find yourself in this place. It doesn't make sense. They're pushing back on you. You don't get what everybody's talking about you. You're tired at the end of the day because the pushback, and you thought there would be open doors, but you got a deadbolted door in front of you. Sometimes God puts you in a place to which God is opposed because God trusts you to fight on God's side. Think about this moment that we're in now. A nation with problems and problems, things that every day you turn on the news. Sometimes God puts us in places to which God is opposed, in situations that upset God, because God knows we'll be upset too. Oh, maybe you were made for this. It's all in how you interpret it. The next thing, if you want to walk into the moment you were made for, Paul teaches us, he says, interpretation is also about validation. Validate, and I don't mean parking. Paul says, it's all about validation. I learned, he says. My 2 Corinthians self, he says, different from my Galatian self. He says, I learned where I get my validation from. He says, I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. I did not get it from a human. And therefore, when I found this revelation, when I learned, and God said, I set you apart from your mother's womb and I made you for this moment, he says, I did not confer with any human being. In other words, I did not go looking for affirmation and for validation from those people who are around me, because I'm getting my assignment from a higher source. Yeah. And so why would I be on divine assignment and divinely appointed, but then looking for human approval? Why, he says, why, when the God of the universe speaks to me and talks to me? Yes, I love humans, but I do not need their validation. No, my validation, he says, comes from on high. Some of us, we have trouble walking into this moment for which we were made. Whew, because we are waiting, so addicted to human validation. And we think, if they don't celebrate, if they don't see it, if I'm not sure, if I'm not getting it from them, then is this the right step to take? God has called you, set you apart from your mother's womb. You were made for this. Don't confer with any humans. Go on to Arabia. You were made for this. It's a question of interpretation. It's a question of where you get your validation. And the last thing, and I promise I'll leave you alone. The last thing that Paul says today, and I hope you can take with you this week as you step into the places for which you were made that may have some opposition, he says, it's also about intention. Say it with me, intention.
Intention.
Interpretation, validation. He says it's about intention. He says, but when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him to the Gentiles. Paul says, I know God didn't work so hard on me. Oh, y'all. I know God did not do those acrobatics and come and reach for me and grab me and hold me even when I tried to run away. God did not work so hard to put me back together. Anybody know about the God that puts us back together? God did not do all of that for nothing. No, God did it so that I might go and do what God has called me to do, so that this world might be different, because I met God and God sent me so that. There's intention to this thing. You are saved for something. You have been made for this moment. There's something that happens in your life when you put your so that in front of your eyes. You say, this isn't about everything that's happening to me and how this is for something, so that. What's my so that, God? God has worked so hard on you for a reason. God is sending you someplace. You were made for this moment. It's about intention. The intention with which God put you in this place. Oh, when you begin to know and to trust like God, like Paul did today in Galatians, that I am not here by accident. I did not confer with humans, and this is not of human origin. This is, humans didn't do this thing. No, God did this thing. So I can walk differently, and I can talk differently, and you might have some things to say about it, but I know who sent me. Yes. So I'm going to this moment for which I was made. I encourage you this week I don't know what your opposition is, what the trouble that's on every side. But you know, the most powerful athletes are the ones that always have a lot of opposition. They don't send the opposition out. They don't send the opposition out unless they're afraid of what you're bringing. And a lot of times we say, there's a pastor, Stephen Furtick, he says, the devil isn't messing with you. He doesn't consider you a threat. So I encourage you to see your story aligned with Paul today. That if you're facing some things that make you wonder, oh, can I do this? Is God in this? Am I in the right place? Sometimes the opposition can chisel you in you a strength and a certainty and a conviction. And I just encourage you to know that you were not made. You were not made to shrink back or to sit by the sidelines. No, you were made for this moment. You were made for this moment. God set you apart in your mother's womb so that you might do the purposes of God on this earth, so that. Keep that so that in front of your eyes. This week, as you face the things that you're facing. And Paul who faced these things, we are still talking about him. This world is different because of him. You know, I was talking about that mic that Michael told us about, the omnidirectional mic, and that it got things from all sides. But you know, one thing Michael said, he said, it's designed to receive things from all sides and to do its job. To do its job after receiving all of those things and to put out a beautiful sound. And I just want to tell you this week that you are designed. Sometimes opposition will come from all sides, and sometimes things will push against you, but you are designed, set apart from your mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made, designed to do the job that God sent you to do. And then when you receive all those things from all sides, you will put it out, and it will be a glorious song, a sound that lifts up the name of the Most High, a sound that gives glory to God, a sound that lifts up God's name, a sound that makes things different because you were here. This is what Paul said. He says, I did my thing. I lived my life. I pushed through. The one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith, and they glorified God because of me. If you push through, if you realize you're made for this moment, if you walk in the power that God gave, they will glorify God because of you. Stand to your feet this morning. As you stand to your feet, let rise in your spirit those places that are pushing against you. And I just want you to speak to those things and say, I was made for this moment. Come on, say it out loud with me. I was made for this. I was made for this. Yes, you might think you could get the best of me, but I do not walk alone. No, I was made for this. I was made for this.